chapter 1, 4, verse 1 said, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. Some of you should seem to come short of it. It's a warning to you and I. It's an apostle warning you and I about what Christianity is. See, Christianity to many people is like, oh, it's by grace. God has done everything, so I can do whatever heck I want to do. It's not. It is by grace. Grace, because we could not save ourselves. We're riddled in sin, dying in sin, crippled in sin. God miraculously, by his mercy, forgave you and I so he could extend his grace. Extend his grace. It's a warning, amen, to you and I. The apostle, the warning, the Jewish Christians, men, the imperative for them to persevere in faith. I want to encourage you. Every day, wherever you think that you're sidetracked, get before God, repent, and get back into the task that God has called you to. God will. He is the life. He will energize your life. He will give you effervescence to your life. He'll strengthen you. He is the power of life. And it's telling you and I, it's a warning, man, given to you and I. How much more should we reflect on the Israelites who are the children of God and learn from what they went through? How many Christians will say, well, I'm going to do whatever heck I want to do and let God, you know, whatever. I think to me that is pretty, I was going to say it, but jackassy. If that's a swear word to you, just pray for me. See, what they did was, instead of having faith in God, their Redeemer, they walked by sight, not by faith. And how many people we encounter constantly, we walk by, oh, this is happening to me, this is happening to me, this is happening to me, this is happening to me. So what? Let God be God. You just chill. Just chill out a little bit. Relax a little bit. I heard a story. This guy was a farmer, and he was a chicken farmer. He had a lot of chickens. But, you know, he got his hound dog, okay, that he bought to protect the chickens. But instead of protecting the chickens when the guy's out, he would kill the chicken and eat the chicken. So he didn't know what to do. After several months going through losing many chickens, he had enough of this dog eating his profits, literally. So he was at the hardware store. He meets his friend. His friend was there talking to him about how's it going, how's the chickens doing, how's the farm going. He says, yeah, it's going good, but I bought this hound dog to protect my chickens from, you know, other predators and things. But every time I leave, he eats one of the chickens. He says, I got to get rid of him. His friend says, let me just take the hound dog and let me see if I could do something with it. So he takes the hound dog, he puts it in a big barn, and goes inside the barn. There's nothing there except one rooster. And the dog, he's looking around, seeing nothing except this one rooster. He sees the rooster, he bolts at that rooster, trying to eat that rooster. And when the dog came in, the rooster jumped up like this, jumped on his head, pop, 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 and a dog was going crazy, ran away from the rooster. Three or four times that dog went after that rooster, same thing happened. Amen. Finally, the dog cowered back and sat there, just watched the rooster. And the next day, the guy brought the dog back to his friend and says, I think the dog's okay now. I think he'll help you. And sure enough. See, the thing is, do you need to go to the school of hard knocks to learn a lesson? Or do we learn from somebody else's experience what the Word of God teaches us. I'd rather learn from reading and experiencing. I went through enough hardship as a knucklehead. Man, that rooster was pecking on my head for almost 30 years. I got a big hole. I think I got no hair. I think I feel like Tom. You know, I was going to say some reason why the guy was dropping his comb because he had no hair to comb. Just like me. My wife always drops her comb. Verse 2 says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. The reason, amen, that you and I understand this right here is very critical. Just listen. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See, the word preached, the word you read, the word someone speaks has to be received by you by faith. See, I look at faith this way. The Spirit of God is divine power. And faith is the nature of man, what is needed to ignite that divine power. See, according to the measure of faith that is in you or that is not in you, healing power exists. Much faith, much healing. Little faith, little healing. No faith, no healing. I don't care what you say you have. Most people always say they have more faith than they actually do. That's the way we are. We like to lie to ourselves. We love to be lied to. That's like Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. Because we love to be lied to. Oh, you're so beautiful. You're so handsome. I got a lot to say about Satan this morning, but my topic is not Satan. But I want you to know, God is the God of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I know my shortcomings. I've learned that the hard way and the easy way, the good way. I've become a realistic. I've been preaching a long time, had many churches. I still have churches I talk to every Sunday morning. I talk to them every morning, Sunday. But the reality is there's nothing good within me except what God has done. In a dime, I could flicker back. Has nothing to do with God. It's my decision. Don't kid yourself. 1 minute you're spiritual. Next minute, amen. Every man with a red tight sign with a pitchfork. Halloween is out there. Verse 3 says, for we who have believed do enter into rest. I want you to hear this very carefully. For we who have believed do enter into rest. Amen. See, some think this is a spiritual rest. They think when you become a Christian, God brings you into rest. It's only partly true. Matthew 11:28 says that. Okay, come unto me, all that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Next verse 29 goes, it says, learn me, for I'm meek, for I'm gentle. I'll give you rest to your soul. What is not only peace with God, because your sin's forgiven, now you have rest, you have peace in your life, your rest. It's only partial what is literally talking in the scripture. The scripture is dealing with you and I, because if you read verse 11 later on, it says, let us labor to enter into the rest. So this cannot be the rest. Are you hearing me? I only got another hour to go, so just be patient. It's not some spiritual rest or temporary rest that you and I go through. Even today, some of you are going through things in your life. Just like I said before, you're going to meet people today. Men, They're going through things you have no idea about. Be nice to them always. People are going through things all the time. Difficulties, amen, all kinds of different things. But we enter into his rest who believe, it says. Who believe. It's defining the character and the nature of those who are going to enter in. Are you getting the picture today? It's not how you begin, how you finish is what counts. Satan started out great. But his end is going to be a disaster. Are you hearing me? Man, can you imagine that? He was a worship leader. If you read Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, he describes Satan very well. He was a worship leader, the cherub of God. He loved to have the angels of heaven worship the Lord. He was worshiping, leading the worship. But he says, you know something? Man, I like that. Wow, makes me feel good. When people adore me, worship me. He usurped the worship of God for himself. Persuaded one third of the angels saying, why are we worshiping? We got better things to do. Why are we worshiping? You know something? You know why he come to that conclusion? It's God made man. God made man to be higher than the angels. Angels were created as ministering spirits. We are created to be the flames of fire. The fire. Not a smoldering coal. Fire. You and I understand, amen. I just got off track, so just put that in the back of your mind. See, some think in terms of salvation, we are enjoying peace and rest in our life. But I want you to know that is part true. I'm not trying to negate that issue. But it's how frequently you remind yourself of the work of God that you continue to move into that dimension of rest and peace in your life. Because you're not operating in the flesh. Carnality is reality in Christianity. You're resting in God. Let God being God. And you being yourself, being grateful for what he has done. Here's Paul reassuring the Jewish church, Jewish Christian, to rest in God. It is important for the Jews concerned about rest and Sabbath because they were hinged upon that term Sabbath in their whole nation. Men, and I need to move along. I apologize. Give me 5 more minutes. Is that okay? Because Tom took all my time and so did Ken. Ken over there, I was looking at him, hurry up, play faster. He says, I'm cool. He was taking his time. See, Sabbath rest is prepared for God's people. See, today we go through a lot of different things, but I'm waiting for the eternal rest. That the struggle of our life is no longer there. We could enjoy the freedom and the liberty with God. Is addressed here to the Jewish Christians because they thought about the Sabbath, the seventh day of creation. In the Mosaic law, the Sabbath was added. And also Joshua entering the Canaan land was supposed to give the rest to the children of Israel. But it didn't because they had all those people, the giants, the ites, men, Anak. But there is a rest, the millennial reign. It's called the rest of God, 1,000-year rest. 1,000 years of millennial reign. In no way I'm going to finish this in 5 minutes. Okay. It says, when entered in, look what it says, verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. How can we enjoy the rest of God if we are continually struggling in life? There is no rest until there is no struggle. So there is no rest here that is permanent until you and I go to heaven. And we're with God who remove all, amen, the adversary that was against us. You and I know this. The cessation of our work as God did from his. See, the rest is not found here. It's found in the next world that God will recreate. See, we face many obstacles today. But I want you to know the world to come will be free of all that. See, we have to kind of understand what the Holy Spirit is teaching here. You and I today is to view Christ as the eternal rest. That's like I might say, when you read your Bible, he is the Christ, the anointed one, burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. When you got saved, you received the anointing, you received the Spirit of God. Christ came into you. That is the power. So it's not enough to be inside of you to get it on you. The power needs to be flow. Many times people come to church, they feel the Spirit of God moving. It is the overflow from the people who actually have the Spirit of God moving in their life. That's what you are feeling. Trying to jumpstart the Spirit of God that's in you. The Old Testament Sabbath as a memorial of the Sabbath, the creation, the seventh day. Also, Christ's redemption is a memorial of his finished work. As he rose from the dead the first day of the week, then you and I celebrate our Sabbath on the first day of the week, on Sunday, instead of the Saturday. Amen. It's exhortation for Christians to labor, to enter into that rest in verse 11. God has called that rest because himself gives that rest. That rest is God. The rest is God. God gave himself to you. Ever ponder that? Religions of the world, they talk about joy, peace, righteousness, and all these different things. It's true, but it's limited because it's man's endeavor to provide that. But today, our God is our righteousness. God had made him who knew no sin, made me sin for us, and may receive of his righteousness. God had made him to be righteousness, our sanctification, redemption. Amen. Are you here today? He is our righteousness. He is our joy. He is our, amen, he's our Mekadesh. That's what that word righteousness means. He's our healing. He's our healer, Jehovah Rapha. He's our peace, Jehovah Shalom. He is the peace, not because there is, amen, absence of problems, but in the midst of the problem, he gives you peace. Oh, hell could break loose. He said, glory to God. I'm going to walk on water with you. Get out of the boat. How are you going to walk on water unless you get out of the boat? We want to be safe all the time. Man, I love time of Halloween. The other day I saw this girl, 666 in the back, the hexagon. Like, praise the Lord. That is wonderful. Man, the devil's trying to kick up and rear up. Praise God. You understand what I'm saying? It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Why am I going to pay attention to some devil? Why am I going to spend time listening to some hick tell me, amen, I'm bad? Oh, you bad. Oh, that's a term I forgot. Is that you bad means you good? Oh, my goodness. What's come over us? It says labor. We need to labor. It means that literally that word comes out to make haste. That why? Make haste so we don't come short of it. Why is that term there? Because they're a day late. Many people are day late. They think, oh, you know, I have this intuition. I have this prompting. I should do it. Yeah, well, I don't know if that's really God. I'm just going to wait. Too late. Next day, you know what the children of Israel did? They got up on top of that hill. Moses said, don't go. Don't go. God's not there. They got all killed. day late. Day late. I know many of us, if you're like me, we have experienced great salvation. Great things happen in our life. But it was short-lived. I've learned the lesson the hard way is my Christianity. Start murmuring, backbiting against people, jealous, envious, you name it. And I thought I was a Christian. That's what they did. Man, the Red Sea encounter. Man, the Egyptian died. They're singing a song. Marrying with Timbal, hey man, the horse and rider fell into the sea. They're singing, rejoicing. God is great. Dancing. You know, we need to have a little more dancing with them, with music, singing here. And jump up and down and praising God over here instead of just standing there.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's what they were doing. But it was short-lived. 3 days later. Only 3 days. Only took me a day. 3 days later, they start murmuring against Moses. But it's an amazing thing that what God says. You know, a lot of people doubt God one way or the other. He says, as truly as I live, the words that you have spoken in my ear, let it be done unto you. What Tom's saying, words you speak, if you read Proverbs 18, it says life and death is in the power of the tongue. He that loves life shall eat the fruit thereof. You like life? Amen. We produce it by what we say. It is amazing because they went through all kinds of things. They forgot about what God did in Egypt. Amen. Miracles of God. Amen. And here comes the word of God. Verse 12 personifies itself in verse 12. Look at the word, what it says though. It is a word of God. It is living or quick. It is mighty and powerful. It is effectual, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is penetrating, piercing. It is generative, even dividing us under soul and spirit. It is revealing and exposing, bring to light thoughts and intents. Can I just, I already got past 5 minutes. Let me just share something to you. There's a little book. I don't really advertise or tell people to buy little books. But this guy named A. Allen wrote the book. It's called As a Man Thinketh. It's a small book. He wrote many, many books. And that book I'll recommend because it's probably the one, the classic of all classic. Okay? People read Caps and all these different people. But please beware, you're not Caps. You are you. What other people's experience doesn't become yours just because you read a book. I read Caps probably 50 times, no stretch at all. Matter of fact, I have a copy in my car. Okay? Reason why, because I keep reading it over and over and over, because my mind is like a sieve. I haven't quite got the revelation that he had when he wrote it. Okay, please help me then. I'm not trying to say anything. I've read all kinds of books. You know, anybody know any guy named Watchman Nee? He has 68 books. I read them all. Some of them several times. The Spiritual Man book I read 3 times. I'm a reader. What I'm saying is that reason why we have struggled because we try to quote what somebody else has experienced and we fail. God wants you to make your own, amen, testimony, experience, your own legacy by what you experience in your life. Okay, this reveals, the word verse 12, this reveals to you now the dignity of God, amen, the one we're talking about, the apostle of our profession. Oh, my goodness. Another 5 minutes?
Don't look at the clock.
It's right in front of me. How can you miss it? Like a sign back there. You know, I was at Young He Chose Church in Korea. There are 10,000 people sitting in the congregation, and they're worshiping God. I mean, if you ever been there, heard anything about Yonggi Cho, it's just like roaring thunder. I mean, it's so loud you have to put your hands over your ears. That's how loud it is. All of a sudden, somebody comes up and hits this huge gong. They got a gong like this. Everybody's silent. They sat down. He continues preaching. And all of a sudden, he comes to this some point that's a phenomenal insight. And he just, they all get up. I said, oh, my goodness, God. That's what it sounds like. The roar, the thundering noise of people praising. That's how I envision heaven, because when we get into the presence of God, never mind all the things you're going to ask him, chit-chat. You're going to know him as he knows you, and it's nothing but you falling down before him, worshiping him. And just I imagine that choir is going to be phenomenal. That day of worship, encountering God. Sorry about my distraction. Verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Do you understand who this guy is? His name is Jesus. This reveals to you and I how we should consider the word of God. See, if you are a sinner, and when somebody preaches the word, it comes in, hones into his heart, and when he gets saved, it separates that soul and spirit. Because when you're a sinner, that spirit is submerged into that soul. I'm not going to get into it. That's another topic for a moment. But I want you to know that God's word penetrates. It's so sharp. It's sharper than a surgeon's scalpel. Could divide joints and marrow. John is talking about the outward, the natural man. The marrow is the inner man, inner being. God could divide it, separate it. He knows you. You know, I said this before. Do you know how many hairs that you have on your head? I said this before. Don't get mad at me. Some of you have less hair now than you did before. And my hair is decreasing very rapidly. 120,000 hair follicles, normal human head. Every one is numbered, the Bible says. Can you imagine? De Beers Diamond Organization, they laser etch their diamonds, every one of them. You can hardly see it until a magnifying glass. Just like your hair, if you pull it out, you get a magnifying glass, you can see the number, 49. 190, no, I'm just stretching it there. But every one of them is numbered. Can you imagine that? This is God. He knows you. He secretly wove you. It's like a surgeon. You are so gloriously made. Why do you think today Jesus, the man, God, is on the right hand? God wants to elevate you. Amen. Hebrews 2. Who is man that thou art mindful of him? You made him little lower than the angel to exalt him above. We know that speaking of Christ himself, but he became a man. Why? Because we are human beings. We're going to rule and reign with God. We're going to judge angels. Amen. God is awesome today, and I need to finish. Man, you've been in church a long time. I preached for 5 hours one time in my church just to see how people were squirming looking at their watches. 5 hours. Did not let them go. The high priest. Seeing then that we have this great high priest that has passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. Some people translate this of our confession. Profession as a confession, what you believe. I understand today that this is encouragement to you and I. It's an encouragement to the believers, man, to understand about God's word of grace today for you. See, today is the day that God's grace could be extended to you. His mercy, His goodness. And I tell people back in the day how to be successful. I say, you got to have a good idea. Number one, that's all you know, you work hard at, to know everything about that idea, what you want to do. That's what you do. That's all you want to do. Have a good idea. That's the plan. You got to have a plan. That's the good idea that you have. A lot of people have good ideas, but have no plan. They don't give their life into it. Next, you find somebody who will invest in with you. Amen. Don't give up no matter the struggle that you have trying to make that work. Don't ever quit saying, well, bad idea. Wrong idea. Different idea. Man, anybody can be a success. Just work hard. Fulfill your dream, your vision, your purpose. You and I understand this. It's an encouraging to you and I. Men, while you and I are here today toiling, man, through many obstacles, He reassures the people that we'll enter into the eternal rest. Man, why? Because our high priest has entered in there first for you and I. We'll enter in him by him. Man, the encouragement is to hold fast to our profession. I want to wind down. Please be patient just for a minute. We have not a high priest who cannot be touched for the feeling by infirmities, but was at all points tempted like us as we are, but yet without sin. He was tempted. I know many of us, we get tempted all the time. And I have cowered towards those temptations more than I want to admit. I'm not perfect. I used to have feathers on my back, but the congregation chewed them off. But the reality is, no one is perfect. Just knowing who you are. Know thyself, O man. The reason why I mention about A.A. Allen is because as you think is critical. We think all the time. We think good things, bad things. The reason why that's important is because no one becomes a good man by thinking bad. No one becomes a bad man by thinking good. We are a garden, if you're really thinking about that perspective. Thoughts are seed you plant into the garden. And sooner or later, we'll act on it. When the opportunity is given, we'll act on it. So we need to get into the Word of God. Amen. Consider Him. Ponder what He has done for you. Amen. As I wind down, Jesus Christ is gone there first without sin. And I apologize that I'm shortchanging this. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's an invitation to you and I to come boldly. It's an encouragement from God to you. But I want you to know, come in faith. We disguise our language with all the negativity and thinking we are speaking in faith. Less words is better than multitudes of dumb words. Did I just say a bad word? No. Come boldly. Invitation. Why is He inviting you now? Because He is praying for you. He will comfort you. He will strengthen you. He will bless you. He will give you peace. When you come into the presence of God, oh my goodness. So what does that mean when you're by yourself with somebody? You have to, it's a bad term, just let me use this term. You got to move the flesh to move the spirit. It's a bad term, but I don't know nothing else at this moment. It's not coming to me. But the reality is, that's partly true, is because you want the Spirit of God, you want God's presence, so you have to do something. Speak about God. Speak about the blood of Christ. See how His love, His mercy. I want you to know the presence of God will come just like that. Yes. When you talk about God, God will come. When you talk about the devil, who comes? Mm-hmm. You know that.
Yes.
Emotion is one of the strangest things. I proved this as an illustration. Say my wife and I, we're having a drag-out, knock-out fight. I know those of you don't have it, but my wife and I, we have once in a while those fights. Not beaten physically, but you know. So we're fighting, yelling, whatever it may be. All of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. What happens? Don't go by emotion. Don't make decisions by emotion. If you have to sleep on it. I appreciate our sister talking about emotion today, because sometimes people, women especially when they're younger, they don't comprehend how the devil uses emotion. It's a fact. Absolutely. Sleep on it and think about it and ask God to help you with that. See, here it is. I want you to know this amazing thing. Israel was confined, a man, to the outer court. Only the priest was entered into the court of the priest and the high priest only once a year, again, the Holy of Holies. But we've been invited. If Biden, those of you who don't like Biden, but he invites you, he gives you a personal invitation, come to the White House for some banquet dinner, and he's going to, all expenses paid. Are you going to dress like a slob and go there? I doubt it very much. You might hypothetically say, I don't like the guy. He could just jump in the lake or whatever. But we won't go. You won't go. Okay. Well, what I'm saying, some people might think that, hey, you know, I'll go check it out. But you address. We're in front of the King of Kings, the glory of God. There's nothing greater that you're ever going to encounter in your life. Jesus Christ. He invites you into his presence. Amen. He invites you into his presence. About how many say, oh, that's Biden, I don't want to go. What's Biden's going to do for me? He maybe give me a computer that Hunter used. But this is God. It's an invitation from God, your Savior. See, the problem that I see in all this, because we take the things of God cheaply or lightly because it didn't cost us nothing. That's the kind of people say the value is in whatever you pay for it. But it's not what you paid for it. The value is the one who paid for it. As you are the recipient of the gift, is knowing the value of the price that was paid for. His invitation. Beloved, stay fast. Be strong in faith. Come to God. When you're going through things, come to God. Just sit there. Say, God, I love you. Just praise him for a minute. You don't have to say nothing. He already knows you. He knows everything you're asking or thinking, whatever. Don't matter. Can you imagine? He says he knows the very thoughts of your heart, intents of your, he knows the thoughts of your mind, intents of your heart. You don't even have to ask. Why does he want you to ask? Because he wants to talk with you, commune with you, chit-chat with you. Beloved, the rest is coming. Now we're enjoying it temporarily for a little while. But I want you to know, want to make it to heaven and encourage people. Be their friend. Pray for them. Love them today. Is that okay this morning? I know that I took a lot of your time this morning, but I only got another hour, so be patient. Hebrews 10, verse 2:10. Bringing in many sons and daughters unto the glory to make the captain of our salvation. He will bring you into that rest. He will. Today we enjoy it temporarily. We have peace. When the presence of God comes, when your wife, your husband, they get mad, whatever, you don't have to say anything. My wife doesn't need me to say anything. She already knows. If she messed up somewhere, she already knows. She doesn't need me to remind her. But the old carnal nature get the foot and the mouth disease. And I got both feet into my mouth several times. And she just says to me, looks at me, "Will you just shut up?" That's how I feel what God says. We just kind of have this run of mouth. And God's being, he's really patient. And he looks at you and I saying, "Will you just shut up so I could just bless you?" Amen. God bless you today.